Let us now go to our Bibles, to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 12. Verse 12 to Romans 8, verse 2. Romans 7, verse 12 to Romans 8, verse 2. We find these words in the Word of God. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind on myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. And let us go to Lord's Day 44, page 56, in the back of our Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 44. Lord's Day 44, question answer 113. What is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? That not even the slightest thought or desire, contrary to any one of God's commandments, should ever arise in my heart. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. Question answer 114. But can those converted to God obey these commandments perfectly? Answer, no. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of disobedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. 115. No one in this life can obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. Why then does God want them preached so pointedly? Answer, first, so the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness and the more eagerly look to Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. Second, so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Thus reading with the Heidelberg Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we reflect upon the passage that we read in Romans 7, as we reflect on Lord's Day 44, and as we reflect on our own lives, we come to realize that on one hand, as we read in verse 12 of chapter 7, where it talks about the law the law of God, as we have spoken about, the law that God gave to us, his declaration of his will. And as we know, his will is holy. In verse 12, it says very clearly, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. When we think of our God, that our God is the immutable God, that our God is the God yesterday, he's the God today, and the God tomorrow, he's the eternal God. And God doesn't speak from two sides of his mouth. When he says something is good, it is good. What God has commanded us is something that is good. It's not something up for debate. And I say that realizing that when someone takes a class in ethics and morality, often we debate what is good and what is not good. But as Christians, we have behind our ethics, behind our morality, a basis, a foundation for saying what is good and what is bad. And that's the commandments of our Lord. When we enter into negotiations or debates or talks, discussions with those around us, even within the church, we must keep these commandments at the back of our minds. That we have confessed that the commandment of God is holy, is just, good, and holy. It's good for our lives. This is what God has commanded us. And I say that because in the discussion, also even within the church, there'll be those who try in some way or another to slip or to slide away from directly confronting what God says in his commands. As one person who I had extended conversation with, when he finally got down to the difference between what he was saying and what I was saying, he said, but God expects us, as we study the law of God, to go down deeper into the law of God. At that point, I had no problem. We must seek to mind the Word of God. We must seek to enter into what exactly is the command of God. That's not where he stopped. But then he said, we must seek to live not only the law of God, but beyond the law of God. No way. No way do we live beyond the law of God, and nor do we seek to live beyond what the Bible commands us. That's not up for discussion. We seek to live according to the Word of God, and we seek to base our life more and more upon the Word of God. But why do we find great sectors within the Christian church or the liberal church that seek to put the commandments of God up for debate? Why do they come basically saying, is it really true? Is that really what God wants us to do? Is that really the commandment of God? Is that really the will of God deep down? When you talk about getting profound, going down deep, the problem is not going deeply down into the law of God to understand the Word of God, but deep down within their hearts, there's a problem. And in some ways, as we study the catechism, it's not just the liberals or not just the secularists out there that have a problem with the Word of God. In some way, when you read Romans 7, Paul is saying, we all have a problem with the Word of God. We all have a problem with the commandments of God. In some way or another, our minds, our thoughts, our desires are kind of slippery. It's like when you walk on ice. We're not always walking on steady ground. There surges within our hearts desires, deep desires that seek to, in some way or another, make us live outside of what God says. For when someone says we must live beyond the law of God, they're going out of bounds. They're going beyond what God has said. They're going too far to the right or too far to the left, and they've gone off the road of holy living. So exactly what is Paul's discussion in Romans 7, a chapter of the Bible that had been discussed by so many, and there's so many different thoughts exactly. What is Romans 7 talking about? Is that talking about the pre-Christian Paul, before that encounter that he had with Jesus Christ in Damascus? Or is it talking about Paul in his Christian living, the struggle that he had within his soul? Calvin takes the position, and our catechism as well, that what Romans 7 is speaking about is the experience of the Christian. That even though we have come to know Jesus Christ, or even though we have confessed, as Paul clearly confesses in verse 12, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good, at the same time that we recognize that what the command is saying, at the same time, there's this struggle, this daily struggle that we have in our lives. And the Catechism speaks about that as well. For it says in question and answer 113, what is God's will for us in the 10th commandment? And it says, first of all, that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any one of God's commandments should ever arise in my heart. I love chocolate ice cream. Try not thinking about chocolate ice cream right now. It's there. It's something we're thinking about. Why? Because I mentioned it, and I mentioned don't think about it. When I say don't think about it, we're thinking about it. When we read the commandments of God, God says, do not commit adultery. What happens? We're on the topic of adultery. And our hearts are subtle. The devil is constantly looking for ways to make us stumble. And even as we read and study sermons and books about certain sins, at the same time that we speak about certain sins that we have within our own heart or with other hearts, at the same time, the devil is using that to raise up sinful desires within our hearts. In other words, when the Catechism says that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any of one of God's commandments should ever arise in our heart, just to mention a sin can cause desires to rise up in our hearts. That's how hard it is. And we know it. We experience that every single day of our life. We tell our minds, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to conquer that desire. And we find ourselves thinking about it again, desiring it again. Again, that thought, that desire comes into our hearts. We think about, do not steal. We're talking about that during between the services. Those anxieties that come upon us, because sometimes we feel that we don't have enough money. It's just not enough for all of our needs. And suddenly, there's a desire for just a little bit more, that what we have is not enough. We don't find contentment in what we have. And the Catechism says that not even the slightest thought or desire contrary to any of God's commandments should ever arise in our heart. That's impossible. That's perfection. How can we ever attain a life like that? In some ways, and that's all the discussion there is about Romans 7, because Romans 7, if we say this is the Christian experience of Paul, one who has encountered Christ, we say that makes sense for our lives. That's where I am at. For Paul says in verse 13, has then what is good become death in me? Certainly not. The law is holy and it's just and good. But then he says, but sin, our sinful nature that each and every one of us has, but sin that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what was good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful, even as I study the commandment. I come to see more and more and more what sin is all about in my own life. I've run into people that have told me I'll say, read the Bible. You know what? It's good to read the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible? People tell me, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. And I say, why don't you want to read the Bible? Because I'm sinful. I don't want to be reminded about my sins. If I read the Bible, it'll only talk to me about my sins, and I don't want to know about my sins. So I don't want to read the Bible. And when we read Paul, Paul is saying, that's right. When we study the law, we look at the law, and the law reminds us, rebukes us. It points us to the fact that we indeed are sinners. And that even though we come to church, even though we study the Bible, even though we pray, even though we ask God for forgiveness of all of our sins, that we may be washed clean through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, when we go back to the law, and every Sunday we repeat the law again points to us to the fact that the life that we lived last week wasn't a perfect life. We haven't attained perfection. We are still in the fight. We are still in the struggle. I have run into people that have said, Pastor Ernie, guess what? I don't sin anymore. I ran into a pastor and told me, I don't sin anymore. I can see sin. I can see people sinning, but it doesn't do anything to me. I have reached perfection. And there's a whole group within the Christian church, especially amongst the Methodists, that say, we no longer sin. We have attained perfection. The first thing that goes through my mind is, they're sinning. He who says he has no sin is a liar. And the truth is not in him. He who says he does not sin is lying. In other words, all of us need to realize that we have not attained perfection. We had these desires within us. We desire to sin and to break God's holy commandments. So Paul says in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, or again, as he said before, holy and just and good. But as it comes into our life, as we study God's law, it discovers, it's making a discovery within our heart that there's still much, as Paul says, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. We still have that sin residing within us, the desires that spring up within our hearts that cause us to sin and to break God's holy word. Or as he said in verse 15, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. We think again of the catechism, what it says in question answer 113. Rather, with all my heart, I should always hate sin and take pleasure in whatever is right. And here Paul's saying, but I find I'm doing what I hate. Even though I ought to hate these sins, even though I know the desires are wrong, even though I know that I'm thinking about that which I ought not to think about, and I hate those thoughts, yet there I am, thinking about them again. What do we do with that? As we study God's law, as we study about sin, as we study about our sinful nature, as we study about vices, as we study about bad habits, about the things we do contrary to God's word, what do we do about that? What do we do about our sinful nature? Are we so, as Paul says, sold over to sin? Is our life so carnal that there is no hope, that there's nothing more that we can do? Is our life a constant stumbling and falling? Just kind of making it through? That's the way I am. Everybody's like that. Everybody sins. That's just reality. No one's perfect, right? How can we live a perfect life? Yet a catechism speaks in verse 113 that not even the slightest desire or thought should come into our minds. But that's not me. I'm a Romans 7 kind of guy. I'm always stumbling. I'm always falling. That's just the kind of person I am. Then again, we have to come to 113 and it says, but it says we need to hate that sin. That sin that we find residing within ourselves. We need to learn to hate more and more and more and more. So when we come to our lives and we realize that there is sin within our lives, we need to come closer and closer and closer to Jesus Christ so the law of God, as we study it, may reveal more and more of that carnal nature so we can confess more and more and more towards our God and seek to live a life ever more righteously, ever or a holy life before our holy God. For Paul, as he explains the whole matter of sin, for we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. He then says in verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, that sin that seeks to manifest itself in me, that seeks to drive me to do that which is contrary to the law of God. As we go to question and answer 114 in the Catechism, but can those converted to God obey these commandments perfectly, contrary to what these Methodists, these from the holiness movement may say? The Catechism says, no. Perfection is not what we contain in this life. In this life, there will be a struggle. There is a fight, and it's a constant fight, and we must enter and we must fight. No, in this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of disobedience. Nevertheless, the Catechism says, nevertheless, but with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some of God's commandments. In other words, we start living today. The minute we come to know Christ and come to know our old man, and the minute the Spirit regenerates us and causes us to live a new life in Christ Jesus, a battle begins. And it's a battle each and every day to live more and more and more like our God. What's the difference between us and one who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ? The difference, if we truly have been reborn by the Spirit of God, is that matter of hate. We hate our sin. And when these evil desires come within us, as the Catechism says, but with all our heart, we should hate that sin. That, as a Christian, we don't want in us anymore. We need to learn to hate it, to learn to study God's word, to learn to study God's law, but not stop at studying God's law. If we go to God's law and say, well, the law is holy, just, and good, I'm going to live the law. Today I'm going to live a perfect life. I'm going to do exactly what the law says. We're bound to stumble and we're bound to fall. We look to the law to learn who we are, to realize how sinful we can be and how wrong we can be. But if we think that we are going to study the law and study all kinds of books about how to obey the law, we become only those who have a fixation with the law and will never get it. We'll find sin in our lives and we'll fall into those very sins. The only way that we can conquer the sin within our life is to turn to Jesus Christ and look towards Jesus Christ. Because he is our God, our Lord, and our King. He who confesses sin. God is faithful and just to forgive all of our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We can't do it alone. It's not within our strength. It's not within our power. When you go back to Romans 7, Paul says in verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know, in verse 18, that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. I can will myself, Or I can have faith in myself, in my power. I can seek to empower myself, to empower my will, and to seek to conquer sin in my strength. But it won't work. Can't do it. Impossible. It's contrary to everything Scripture says. For even though as we seek to will, to live against evil, but the will I will not do, Paul says, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity in the law of sin which is in my members. And what Paul is describing is the world all around us. When we look at the world, as we call the world knows that what it does is wrong. It knows that the laws it approves that are contrary to God's laws are wrong. God has given every single man a conscience. And this conscience makes man conscious of the fact that he is living against the law of God. But because man wants to justify his actions, he denies the law of God within him. And he seeks to approve that which is ungodly so his life may be conformed according to his own self-ideal of what he wants, what he desires. So in some way or another, he can justify the way that he lives, even though deep down he knows that the way he is living is sinful. And again, we as Christians can get caught up into that trap. Everybody does it. It's not so bad. It's only a thought. It's only a desire. It's only a look. It's only a testing. You have to know the world in order to live in this world. We fool ourselves and we fall into sin and we seek to justify our sins. The world is basically a self-justification for a way of life that is contrary to God's holy word. And God comes to us with his holy law, his just law, and his good law, and he says, and this is sinful. And yes, we must study the law. We must uncover this sin within ourselves. But as we study the law, Paul wants to take us to that point where we can say in verse 24 of Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And what does he say? It's Jesus Christ. It's our Lord. It's our God. He's the only one that can deliver us from ourselves. He's the only one who has the power to change us, to conform us according to the will of God. For he says, O wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. God transforms my mind through the study of Scripture, through the law of God, through a relationship with Jesus Christ to know my sin, and he empowers me through the Holy Spirit to live a life according to the law of God more and more. And this is what we see when you come to one question and answer 115. No one in this life can obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. We all know that. Why then does God want them preached so pointedly? And the answer given by the Catechism is the following. First, so that the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness, and the more eagerly look to Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness. What's the Catechism saying? Know yourself. Know who you are. Know your weaknesses. Know what causes you to fall into the same sins. Analyze it. And as you come to study yourself, as you come to study your weaknesses, as you realize your faults, as you realize that you're only struggling in your own power, in your own strength, at the same time, look to Jesus Christ. Pray to Jesus Christ. When people come to me and say, but Brother Ernie, I'm struggling with this sin. I can't overcome it. I've been struggling and struggling and struggling, but it's a weakness I have. That's just the way I am. That's the way I'm geared. I can't do it. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I'll say, pray to Jesus Christ. Pray to Jesus Christ. And they'll say to me, but I can't pray. I'll say, open up the Psalms. Read the Psalms. And after you read one of the Psalms, read it over again. And read it over again. And while you are reading and praying and coming to your God, you know that at that moment, you are doing that which God has commanded to you. At that moment, you are doing that which is good. And make that a practice. And as you make that a practice, extend it. And extend it. And extend it so that it becomes a way of living. And thereby, you replace a bad habit, a sin, with a good habit, that which is holy and just before our God. Going to Scripture, and with Scripture, going to our holy God. So the Catechism said, first, so the longer we live, the more we may come to know our sinfulness, and the more eagerly look to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins and righteousness, pleading with Him, struggling with Him, daily, constantly, as Paul says, pray, pray, always, going to our God and saying, God, help me. This sin, I can't deal with it. I've been struggling with it. It's a weakness of mine. Help me so I may overcome, so I may live according to not some of, but all of your commandments, that my life may be a holy life, live for your honor and for your glory. Second, so that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's image, until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Praying and looking to Jesus Christ, struggling and fighting and battling, studying the law, studying God's grace, studying the strength that He promises us in the Holy Spirit, and fighting onwards, a life of prayer, a life of looking towards a God, a life of reading His Scripture, a life of conforming more and more and more, that we may be in the image of God. In other words, when we see verse 12 of chapter 7 of Romans, where it says, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. When God comes to us and says, be holy as I am holy, that more and more and more we can see God within us working, conforming us to His image, that we can see the power of the Holy Spirit and realizing that God is using us for His glory and for His honor. And say, as Paul says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we can also pray that. I thank God for Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross of Calvary for the complete remission of all of my sins. That before God, even though I struggle in this world, I have been declared righteous. That the righteousness of God has been imputed to me. As chapter 8 says in verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has saved us from our sinfulness. Jesus Christ has saved us from all of our sins. Jesus Christ has made us right before God. And Jesus Christ has placed us in the way of salvation. Paul struggles that with that earlier in the book of Romans. For those who say, should we sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, no way. Never. And we never have thoughts about that. Christ has saved us. First of all, He comes with the law, and the law points us to our sinfulness. And then it points us to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then through the Holy Spirit, God renews us, that through the law, we seek to live a life in holy living before our God. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, who do not look to our own flesh for self-justification, seeking to live according to what we think is good, that which works for us, a pragmatic way of living without acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but rather that we walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will direct us more and more to live according to the law of God. For the law of God is holy. It is just. It is good. It's for our lives. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's granted us life, eternal life, a life that's lived out in accordance with God's love, living and living and living in this life until we attain perfection in the life to come. Is it easy? It's never easy. The life in this world is never easy. The battle is constant. The devil is always looking for a way into your life. But our God is stronger. He's the God who's over all things. He's the God who's granted us his Spirit. Our God is with us, and he'll be with us to the end. So take heart. Look to the law. Study the law. And look to Jesus Christ. And find your salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And pray constantly for the strength of the Holy Spirit so you may walk in a life that is good and pleasing in his sight. May Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, help us to live for the honor and glory of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly God, Holy Father, we come before your presence and we pray for our sins. We so easily covet. It's so easily a part of us. And you commanded us not to covet. Nothing at all, but to covet a life that's lived in the strength of your Holy Spirit, to desire to live in your courts for the rest of our lives, to live a life that you commanded us in your word. Oh, Heavenly Father, we realize the commandments are not just external, they're internal. They need to be written upon the tablets of our heart. We pray, oh Lord God, that you may grant us through your Spirit to be industrious in that we may have inside of ourselves that law written, that we may be holy as you are holy. And Heavenly Father, when we sin, and we do sin, we confess our sins, help us to confess our sins, to repent in the name of Jesus Christ, and to look to you for deliverance. Help us, O Lord God, to live a Christian life in obedience to all of your commands. We pray, O Lord God, you may indeed take us forward through your Spirit until we attain that day when all things will be new, when we will live perfectly in your presence. May that desire be within us day by day, hour by hour in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name's sake. Amen.